Chapter 4. At night in Ors, I walked the streets and looked out over the still stinking water, dark beyond the few lights of Ors itself, and the blinking of the buoys surrounding the prohibited zones. I slept also, and sat watch in the lower level of the house, in case anyone should need me, though that was rare in those days. I finished any of the day's work still uncompleted, and watched over Lieutenant On, who lay sleeping. Mornings, I brought water for Lieutenant On to bathe in, and dressed her, though the local costume was a good deal less effort than her uniform, and she had stopped wearing any sort of cosmetics 2 years before, as they were difficult to maintain in the heat. Then Lieutenant On would turn to her icons. Four-armed Amat, an emanation in each hand, sat on a box downstairs. But the others, Torin, who received devotions from every officer on Justice of Torin, and a few gods particular to Lieutenant On's family, sat near where Lieutenant On slept, in the upper part of the house, and it was to them that she made her morning devotions. "The flower of justice is peace," the daily prayer began, that every Rajshahi soldier said on waking every day of her life in the military. "The flower of propriety is beauty in thought and action." The rest of my officers, still on Justice of Torin, were on a different schedule. Their mornings rarely coincided with Lieutenant On's, so it was almost always Lieutenant On's voice alone in prayer, and the others, when they spoke so far away, in chorus without her. "The flower of benefit is Amat, whole and entire. I am the sword of justice." The prayer is antiphonal, but only 4 verses long. I can sometimes hear it still when I wake, like a distant voice somewhere behind me. Every morning in every official temple throughout Rajshahi space, a priest, who doubles as a registrar of births and deaths and contracts of all kinds, casts the day's omens. Households and individuals sometimes cast their own as well, and there's no obligation to attend the official casting. But it's as good an excuse as any to be seen and speak to friends and neighbors and hear gossip. There was, as yet, no official temple in Ors. These are all primarily dedicated to Amat. Any other gods on the premises take lesser places, and the head priest of Ikt hadn't seen her way clear to demoting her god in its own temple, or identifying Ikt with Amat closely enough to add Rajshahi rites to her own. So for the moment, Lieutenant On's house served. Each morning the makeshift temple's flower-bearers removed dead flowers from around the icon of Amat, and replace them with fresh ones. Usually a local species with small, bright pink, triple-lobed petals that grew in the dirt that collected on the outside corners of buildings or cracks in slabs, and was the nearest thing to a weed, but greatly admired by the children. And lately, small cupped blue and white lilies had been blooming in the lake, especially near the buoy-barricaded prohibited areas. Then Lieutenant On would lay out the cloth for the omen casting, and the omens themselves, a handful of weighty metal discs. These and the icons were Lieutenant On's personal possessions, gifts from her parents when she had taken the aptitudes and received her assignment. Occasionally, only Lieutenant On and the day's attendants came to the morning ritual, but usually others were present. The town's medic, a few of the Rajshahi who had been granted property here, other Orzian children who couldn't be persuaded to go to school, or care about being on time for it, and liked the glitter and ring of the discs as they fell. Sometimes even the head priest of Ikt would come. That god, like Amat, not demanding that its followers refuse to acknowledge other gods. Once the omens fell and came to rest on the cloth, or, to any spectator's dread, rolled off the cloth and away somewhere harder to interpret. The priest officiating was supposed to identify the pattern, match it with its associated passage of scripture, and recite that for those present. It wasn't something Lieutenant On was always able to do, so instead she tossed the omens, I observed their fall, and then I transmitted the appropriate words to her. Justice of Torin was, after all, nearly 2,000 years old and had seen nearly every possible configuration. The ritual done, she would have breakfast, usually a round of bread from whatever local grain was available and real tea, and then take her place on the mat and platform and wait for the day's requests and complaints. "Jen Shinnan invites you to supper this evening," I told her that next morning. I also ate breakfast, cleaned weapons, walked the streets, and greeted those who spoke to me. Jen Shinnan lived in the Upper City, and before the annexation she had been the wealthiest person in Orz, in influence second only to the head priest of Ikt. Lieutenant On disliked her. "I suppose I don't have a good excuse to refuse." "Not that I can see," I said. I also stood at the perimeter of the house, nearly on the street, and watched. An Orzian approached, saw me, slowed, stopped about 8 meters away, pretending to look above me at something else. "Anything else?" asked Lieutenant On. "The district magistrate reiterates the official policy regarding fishing reserves in the Orz marshes." Lieutenant On sighed. "Yes, of course she does." "Can I help you, citizen?" I asked the person still hesitating in the street. The impending arrival of her first grandchild hadn't yet been announced to the neighbors, so I pretended I didn't know either and used only the simple, respectful address toward a male person. "I wish," Lieutenant On continued, "the magistrate would come here herself and try living on stale bread and those disgusting pickled vegetables they send, and see how she likes being forbidden to fish where all the fish actually are." The Orzian in the street started, looked for a moment as if she were going to turn around and walk away, and changed her mind. "Good morning, Radchai," she said, quietly coming closer. "And to the lieutenant as well." Orzians were blunt when it suited them, and at other times oddly, frustratingly reticent. "I know there's a reason for it," said Lieutenant On to me, "and she's right, but still..." She sighed again. "Anything else?" "Den's Eye is outside and wishes to speak to you." As I spoke, I invited Den's Eye to step within the house.
"What about?"
"Something she seems unwilling to mention." Lieutenant On gestured acknowledgement, and I brought Den's Eye around the screens. She bowed and sat on the mat in front of Lieutenant On.
"Good morning, citizen," said Lieutenant On. I translated.
"Good morning, Lieutenant."
And by slow, careful degrees, beginning with an observation on the heat and the cloudless sky, progressing through inquiries about Lieutenant On's health, to mild local gossip, she finally came around to hinting at her reason for coming.
I have a friend, Lieutenant."
She stopped.
"Yes?"
"Yesterday evening, my friend was fishing."
Den's Eye stopped again. Lieutenant On waited 3 seconds, and when nothing further seemed forthcoming, she asked,
"Did your friend catch much?"
When the mood was on them, no amount of direct questioning or begging an Orzian to come to the point would avail.
"Not much," said Den's Eye.
And then, irritation flashing across her face just for an instant,
"The best fishing, you know, is near the breeding areas, and those are all prohibited."
"Yes," said Lieutenant On.
I'm sure your friend would never fish illegally.
No, no, of course not, Denzai protested.
But I don't want to get her in trouble. But maybe sometimes she digs tubers near the prohibited zones.
There weren't really any plants that produced edible tubers near the prohibited zones. They'd all been dug up months ago, if not longer. Poachers were more careful about the ones inside. If the plants decreased too noticeably or disappeared entirely, we'd be forced to find out who was taking them and guard them much more closely. Lieutenant On knew this. Everyone in the lower city knew it. Lieutenant On waited for the rest of the story, not for the first time annoyed at the Orzian tendency to approach topics by stealth, but managing mostly not to show it.
I've heard they're very good, she ventured.
Oh, yes, agreed Denzai. They're best right out of the mud.
Lieutenant On suppressed a grimace.
But you can slice them and grill them, too.
Denzai stopped with a shrewd look.
Perhaps my friend can get some for you.
I saw Lieutenant On's dissatisfaction with her rations, the momentary desire to say, yes, please, but instead she said,
thank you, there's no need. You were saying?
Saying?
Your friend?
As she spoke, Lieutenant On was asking me questions with minute twitches of her fingers.
Was digging tubers near a prohibited zone?
And? I showed Lieutenant On the spot this person was most likely to have been digging in. I patrolled all of Ors, saw the boats go in and out, saw where they were at night when they doused lights, and maybe even thought they were running invisible to me.
And, said Denzai, they found something.
Anyone missing? Lieutenant On asked me, silently alarmed. I replied in the negative.
What did they find? Lieutenant On asked Denzai aloud.
Guns, said Denzai.
So quietly, Lieutenant On almost didn't hear.
A dozen. From before.
From before the annexation, she meant. All the Shasernan militaries had been relieved of their weapons. No one on the planet should have had any guns we didn't already know about. The answer was so surprising that for a blinking 2 seconds, Lieutenant On didn't react at all. Then came puzzlement, alarm, and confusion.
Why is she telling me this? Lieutenant On asked me silently.
There's been some talk, Lieutenant, said Denzai. Perhaps you've heard it.
There's always talk, acknowledged Lieutenant On.
The answer so formulaic, I didn't need to translate it for her. She could say it in the local dialect.
How else are people to pass the time?
Denzai conceded this conventional point with a gesture. Lieutenant On's patience frayed, and she attacked directly.
They might have been put there before the annexation.
Denzai made a negative motion with her left hand.
They weren't there a month ago.
Did someone find a pre-annexation cache and hide them there?
Lieutenant On asked me silently. Aloud, she asked,
when people talk, do they say things that might account for the appearance of a dozen guns underwater in a prohibited zone?
Such guns are no good against you.
Because of our armor, Denzai meant. Rodchai armor is an essentially impenetrable force shield. I could extend mine at a thought, the moment I desired to do so. The mechanism that generated it was implanted in each of my segments. And Lieutenant On had it as well, though hers was an externally worn unit. It didn't make us completely invulnerable, and in combat, we sometimes wore actual pieces of armor under it, lightweight and articulated, covering head and limbs and torso. But even without that, a handful of guns wouldn't do much damage to either of us.